KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them.
On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
And Lynn Jurens is in Mexico.
Mexico. They wouldn't let him back over, would they?
No, they wouldn't.
You know, it's good that he's gone because we can volunteer him for a bunch of things that he can't really be there for.
That's right. Like he could do the show by himself next week.
Exactly.
That's right. He's still in Mexico.
Well, next week he is too?
Absolutely.
Man, what are we going to do? You're all by yourself next weekend.
Yeah, he's going to be him, El Chapo. That's what we'll start calling him.
El Lino, they call him?
El Lino Chapo.
El Lino. Jeepers creepers. Well, you know, big. I know they got a big weekend. I know it's a lot of snow we hit with, but Big Boy Toy Show is coming up this weekend.
Yes, it is.
In Watertown. You get a chance to get out at the extension building and check that out.
They're going to try to plow the road so all the boats can get out there. Good Lord, do we have a lot of snow.
Fishing-wise, I tell you, it's got the big eel pout festivals going on this weekend up in Walker. Last weekend, they had the Stephen Peach was at the Fishing for Ducks on Mille Lacs Lake.
Did they catch a duck?
I don't know if they caught any ducks, but I do understand that some lady caught a $20,000 burbot.
$20,000 burbot.
Don't know what a burbot is. That's an eel pout.
It's an eel pout. It's a fancy way to say
no,
eel
I don't
pout.
Know. What was the deal? Was it? I don't know. Is that another eel pout type of a deal that they're going after?
I have
or
no
did
idea.
You catch a tagged one? Or what, I don't know the whole deal on that. But
I don't know.
I'd catch one.
The only reason I looked at it said fishing for ducks, and I thought, what in the world is this? Hey, tonight, I believe, Ralph Gitson will verify it, but tonight, is there a Glacial Lakes Walleyes Unlimited meeting at the Esteline Legion?
There is?
Yeah, I believe so.
You know, I think I saw that someplace.
Yep. So that somebody should get down and listen to Vern Bohr speak. Yeah, mm-hmm. That could be good.
Better do it tonight because you won't get out there over the weekend. It'd be too snowy.
Yeah, try to catch a fish on the way. But we're talking about Vern Bohr. We have got a guy who works with Vern Bohr a lot on the radio.
Oh.
The one.
The only.
The only, thank goodness. Mike Tejan from Brookings. Mike, are you with us?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning. How is things down in Brookville this morning, Mike?
It's not snowing. How about that?
How about it's not snowing?
Yeah, it's not snowing. That's good news.
Well, just wait a minute. It will start.
It really is. Wait 5 minutes. That changes around here.
You're in South Dakota, right, guys?
Yeah, the wind will blow so hard you won't know if you're going, coming or going.
Yeah, this is crazy talk. I mean, it snows. I haven't seen snow like this in a long time, Mike. How about you?
Well, you know, me either. I'm reflecting, actually, back to, I hate to say it, but 96, 97.
Yeah.
Where we had just, you know, 10, 12-foot snowbanks all along the roads. And, you know, like El Lino Jernzo, I'm an American Family agent as well. And we've been pretty busy with claims here. Every couple of days we get snowed and people forget how to drive on it. So,
oh, yes,
folks,
exactly.
Use caution. You know?
Well, that snow's got to have some kind of effect on these lakes. I mean, with all, not only the fact that they're losing oxygen down below, but, I mean, the weight of the snow on the water, I mean, I haven't been out lately, but I'm sure if you drill a hole, that water's going to come plopping right up through the hole.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, it's really unfortunate when we look at the oxygen levels. Some of the area lakes in the Brookings area, Whitewood, Oakwoods, I've heard Oak Lake and Fish Lake, some, you know, these shallower bodies of water, 6-7 footers, they're dead. So I've heard. You know, you drill a hole if you can get out there on a snowmobile. Or fortunately, Ted Takasaki and I, we share a snow bear together, so I can get around, you know. But, you know, you drill a hole, and it's the smell of sewage, unfortunately. And then on those bigger bodies of water, I haven't done any oxygen tests on them yet, like Ponset and Thompson. There was a lot of folks out on Thompson here this past weekend. But if you can imagine what it's like in the fish's world with all this snow on top, it's got to be pitch black down there.
Yeah.
You know, no sunlight can get through. So I think that affects the bite as well, especially on the perch and panfish, you know.
Yeah, Randy Angermeyer and I were out. We checked the oxygen levels on Casey Slew the other night. I drilled a hole, stuck Randy's head in it. He couldn't breathe.
He couldn't breathe at all.
So we figure that one's a little low, too.
Yeah.
I'll have to
Then we went to the Henry Lagoon and drilled a hole, and Neil stuck his head down in it and had to go to the doctor.
It smelled like sewage.
Oh, no.
I tell you what, it's even on these big bodies of water, this snow, you know, Mike, there's no light getting through. We're not nourishing that plant life underneath at all.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start to notice that pretty hard.
We are. And here's the thing, too, guys. It's all nature. You know, the good Lord's deciding to do this. And these bodies of water, they're very fertile bodies of water. And you know what? If we have a major fish kill, you can bet the GFNP is going to restock them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to grow quickly, very quickly. There's no competition for
food. There's a ton of food to eat, too.
So, yeah, within a couple of years, guys, we're going to have these lakes full of nice 14-inch walleyes again. And it's just all part of the process, especially over there on the Oakwood Lake chain, the east and west and Turtle over there. That lake dies out every 4 or 5 years. And here last year, you couldn't hardly catch anything under 20 inches.
Wow.
You know, so it's unfortunate, but, you know, it's these lakes bounce back. And I'm concerned about the pheasants and the deer out there. I mean, but they're resilient. Nature is very resilient, guys. They get through it.
Yeah, and the deer population seems to be pretty good. They're all standing on the roads.
Yeah. Well, I don't even.
Hence the insurance claims, right?
Yeah. Right.
Well, even the pheasants I've noticed now are starting to be roadside scratching quite a bit, you know, with all this snow looking for something. But you're right, you know. And a lot of these lakes, you say that, you know, that are freezing out or are dying or whatever, some of them are so overpopulated anyways that these fish aren't going to grow any more than they already are because they're stunted out. There's just no more room. And you're in nature's way of making things work.
But I have a question. If it's nature's way of making things work, how come the pike and the catfish never seem to die?
Oh, man. Now, you mentioned Vern Bohr earlier. You know, Vern, I just love these northern pike. And honestly, look at Lake Ponset. If you catch a pike, it's a big one.
Yeah.
Where did it go? All those 4 or 5 pounders are gone. And I had heard it said there was a disease or a parasite that killed them, but I don't know the validity to that. You just don't catch them like you used to out of that lake.
Really? It's amazing because it seems like every little slough has either a bullhead, a catfish, or a northern in it. I think the northerns get up on their tails and walk to a better lake.
Yeah. I think so. But, you know, you got to love the good old Esox, guys. I mean, it's, in my opinion, great table fare if you know how to clean them.
Absolutely.
And they're aggressive. They bite. Kids love them. In fact, I remember riding my bike over to Interstate Lake when I was 10, 11 years old. It was a 5-mile bike ride, and throw a daredevil, and I could catch big northerns, and that's what hooked me on fishing. So they got their purpose, those good old Esox, too, guys.
I think it's a tackle shop conspiracy because they rip off my 4-pound line, and I lose more jigs to northerns than anybody in the world when I don't even want to catch them.
Right on. Well, you know, walleye fishing, there's nothing wrong with using a great big steel leader on your jig head, you know.
For walleye fishing, but I was up perch fishing a couple weeks ago, and I got throttled by northern. Oh, well.
And if you're not paying attention, you lose your fishing rod right down the hole.
You know what happened to me? This true story. I know I'm a fisherman, but true story. You might even see it on Facebook, Neil. I wasn't paying attention, sitting in the snow bear, and I'm watching the fish under my helix, and I'm jigging, and all of a sudden you hear sploosh, and there the bobber rod that was sitting next to me, down the hole it went. Okay? So, kind of disappointing, I lost that rod. That's the way things work. And all of a sudden, I put another bobber rod down, and about a half hour later, there the bobber went down. The very fish that took my rod bit that bobber rod, and I got my rod back.
Oh,
that's...
I couldn't believe it. That's a true fish story, though.
I could say it's
an 8-pound walleye, but it wasn't. It was 14 inches, but hey.
Well, you could have said the 8-pounder. Then it would have been a true fish story.
Got one just about like that. I was fishing over in Minnesota, and back then we had the old poles with the spike in the end of it, you know, where you wrapped your line around these two dowels, you know. Put the spike into the ice, and it was early into the ice, so it was fairly little bit of ice, and you could see real clear. And it took my, and these rods were made out of wood, you know, they had the red handle on them.
Yeah, yep.
boom, takes off, everything into the ice, under the ice it goes.
Is that right?
About 30 minutes later, you can see this fishing rod on top of the, you know, it's going, it's moving on the ice, and it comes right over by the hole, reached down, grabbed it.
Caught a fish.
Caught a fish. Yep.
Now, that's a good story, too. Was that an 8-pound walleye, or?
No, far from that.
I do believe I have to throw the BS flag on that, but I'll keep it in my pocket for now.
No, that's a true one.
Well, Neil, now it's your turn. You got to tell a fish story that's very believable too.
I have never lost a rod down a hole though.
No?
No, my son lost one and we actually jigged it up. There's no fish on. He just dropped it.
Oh.
So I don't have anything spectacular, Mike.
Well, Neil's lost a few things in the bottom of a lake.
Oh, yeah. I've lost Vexlars. I've lost augers. I actually did lose all the rods in a rod case, I guess. So that happened.
Yeah. I mean, he's got us beat when it comes to the equipment department.
Yeah. I increased the value of Mankey Slough by threefold.
Right. Well, that's a good deal.
You know, everybody, Mike is talking about the snow, and it's hard to get around on these lakes. And what's Mike Tejan do? Goes out and gets in on a snow bear partnership.
Mm.
Talk to me about that snow bear. I've been in them before, well, and you're a big guy like me, not as big as me, but I was really not overly comfortable. What do you think of those things?
Well, I'm surely more comfortable than I would be standing outside in 20 below zero.
No doubt.
You know, I'm 6'4 and 290 pounds, you know, you get the opportunity to stretch. What I love about it is just the versatility. I call it trolling on ice. And what's unique about that is I cut my hole, one hole, in that stone bear, and literally, you know, you go ice fishing and you're wearing your blue jeans and a hoodie. That's all you need. You start up the snow bear 5 minutes before you get to the lake, and then jump in and back it off. And anyway, it's truly, you know, search. And that's what we did. That's what we do on our four wheelers and snowmobiles. But we've got the comfort in the snow bear later season type stuff. And you know, you cut a hole, you drop a camera down, drop your hummingbird down. You take a look. If you're on fish, you cut the remaining three holes. You catch. And then those fish eventually move. I don't even bother lifting the snow bear up. I drive another 50, 75 feet, and I stay on that school. I'm always following those fish around on the school, just like we would with a four-wheeler, you know, during early season. So I think they're, in myself, comfortable. Yeah, your back might get a little sore if you sit there too long, but it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable. And, in fact, we have a dealer, guys, that just opened up, C&M Snow Bear, Corey Granum. He's a good friend of mine. I took him out in the snow bear last year, and he liked it so much he started a dealership. And he's right over here by Lake Campbell, and he serviced, does warranty work. And what's interesting, you know, guys sometimes will buy boats and finance them out 15 years. Guess what? There's now financing available on these snow bears.
Oh.
And that wasn't the case for quite a long time. You know, our egg producers, those guys would go buy snow bears because that's when they get to fish. But the rest of us, hey, we'd go out on a four-wheeler or buy a permanent shack and wait for the fish to come under us. These snow bears now, if you contact Corey Granum at C&M Snow Bear or Adam Renas up in Sisseton, there's financing available on these. It's 15% down, and then you can finance up to 15 years. So, you know, pretty affordable way, and boy, with the winter we've been having, that snow bear is a lifesaver out there. Yeah.
Last year, I remember saying to myself, there's no way I would buy one of those. This year, I'm saying to myself,
why don't I have one?
Maybe I should have one of those.
You know what? all the guides, old J. Fred and a lot of the guys I know that are guiding, you know, they're selling these snow bear trips with $200 a guy. They go fishing and they can get around. They're mobile. They're staying on these fish.
Yep.
You just can't do it with plow pickup even if there's so much snow out there. So.
You can't. And I agree. And I've snowmobiled fished before and there's nothing worse on the planet than that.
Are these snow bears, are they all the same size? Are they different? What's the difference between them?
they're universal in size, and in fact, the one that Teddy got this year, that Ted and I are running, it's the first of its kind. It's a 2020 Snow Bear, and it's got a new motor in it, and it's got a little Briggs & Stratton four-cylinder in it. And just a little lighter motor. Those Snow Bears weigh about 3,500 pounds.
That was my question.
Now, they're pretty heavy. But the thing is their weight is distributed so well. I think it's like one pound per square inch under the track, which is next to nothing. You know, eight to 10 inches, you can get on the ice on those Snow Bears, and, you know, you run them. Heck, Corey Granum, you know what he does? He takes his family out, his little girls and his wife, and they go driving around all the fields, and it's like a big snowmobile.
Yeah.
you know, it doesn't have to be just ice fishing. I almost took the Snow Bear to work yesterday.
Now, are they pretty buoyant if you do have an issue going through the water?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you've got four holes down there, and the whole cab is going to fill up. But there is an escape hatch out the very top, and they are buoyant. You know, they're going to end up floating, and you can get out of the top hatch and then get out. But, you know, the only thing I found is, if you hit a slush pocket in a Snow Bear, you're in trouble.
Yep, they're stuck because right now, aren't they?
They're going to get stuck, and you're not going anywhere, and they're a real joy to pull out. Now, that's rumor. That hasn't happened to me or Ted yet, but
I've seen them out on Oahu. You know, slush pockets are kind of famous out there.
Yeah.
I have seen them get hooked up out there a few times, and that was the first reason I didn't really think they were that great. But, boy, after seeing around these glacial lakes, there might not be anything better.
I think, guys, you're going to see more and more and more of them.
Yeah.
Can you fish four guys pretty comfortable?
What's that?
Can you fish four guys pretty comfortable in one of those?
Yeah, you know, there's one per hole. You know, you have your issues on deeper lakes. But when we film shows, you know, we do Midwest Outdoors and Wild Dakota, and I just had Gillespie up here, too, his first trip to South Dakota. And four guys, you get into deep water. As with fishing in a small little fish shack, you get in 20 foot of water, four guys, you hook a fish, you can tangle up a little bit, but it's comfortable. You're sitting right across from your hole, and you put your graph on the little bench there. The storage is great. There are little bench seats, and all your storage and tackle go under. That's what you sit on. And then the driver has a high back chair to sit in. And
do you have the bunks in yours?
Yeah, there's not bunks. They're like benches that you sit on with storage under them.
Oh, I saw a guy had a couple bunks, flop down bunks in his with the TV on it and everything.
Oh, yeah, they can, you know, get their grills that they attach. We went up to the Snow Bear migration in northeastern Minnesota at Lake Vermilion. And it was a really, really fun experience. We went up there and you saw all the Snow Bear dealers. You know, Walleye Dan was up there, and you got to see how guys would set up their Snow Bears, and it was really a cool experience. I mean, they were grilling brats on the back of their Snow Bears and watching TV and having a good old time, comfortable as could be.
And the beauty of those is, I think, right down to it, is the mobility that you're going to have out on any kind of a condition on the ice is the nice
thing. Well, you know, think of it related to summer fishing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, how often do you just sit in one spot all day in your boat?
Yep.
You know, you're going to move around and check. And again, that's the advantage anymore. You know, Humminbird came out with an all-seasons unit, the Helix 7 all-seasons called. And you know what? It comes with the mounting bracket for your boat, the transducer for your boat, and the ice pack. And so all these points and hot spots you found out in your boat, you can use in your Snow Bear or use when you're ice fishing and go hit those spots up because of the GPS and the mapping that they have available with those units as well.
Well, perfect. Well, Mike, we are winding up on the top of the hour, unfortunately. It's been great talking with you. You also are a prime sponsor this year on Wild Dakota, aren't you?
Yes, I am, and I'm really proud to say that, too. I've been with the guys from Wild Dakota for 13 years, and an opportunity came up for title sponsorship. And now I'm proud to say, you know, it's American Families Wild Dakota. And
That's good.
You know, it's an opportunity for me as an agent and a fisherman to talk about the products we offer, you know, boat insurance and four-wheelers and all that stuff our sportsman friends like. And also, I'm just really proud to be able to be involved. Vern and Jeff are good people.
Good
and
deal.
They've done this a long time. They're humble. So.
Well, you can turn in and watch Wild Dakota every Saturday morning and see Mike Tejan on the radio, on the TV, too. He's on the radio, the TV. Yeah, Holy cow.
We have a face for radio. That's why we stick on the radio. Thanks for being on board with us today, Mike.
Mike, my friend, it's good seeing you.
Pleasure.
I'm sure I'll see you here in a couple weeks on the Sioux Falls Sports Show.
I hope so, Neil. Take care, guys.
Yes, have a good day. Thank you.
Bye.